Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It is 12:59 p.m. That is Pacific Summertime. Today is March 18th. Well, Treasury markets are right at the upper side of a three-month range. They have come all the way back up to their peak posted right at the beginning of the year. And there is obviously a big question because the Federal Reserve is going to let us know what their dot plot is on Wednesday. Well, it's very unlikely that they're going to raise rates. And when we look at the two-year, we see plenty of evidence that investors are willing to bet that they're not going to raise rates. In fact, they're starting to think that there's a strong likelihood they're going to cut rates. Now, the yield was a little bit stronger in here today, but it is still below 2.5%, and that is just about where the Fed funds rate is today. So what investors are looking for is further evidence that the Fed is in dovish territory, that the dot plot is not going to look at interest rate hikes this year, and that fewer people are looking for interest rate hikes next year. So that's certainly something that I think the bulk of investors are probably waiting for. So I think we can probably anticipate there's going to be a somewhat quieter environment on stock markets if that were the only condition that people were particularly interested in. But that isn't, of course, the only thing. We had a big move today in China. And I've said on a number of occasions that bull markets in China are state-sponsored. So it's a market that's heavily dominated by retail investors. And retail investors, by and large, take their cues from government statements. Back in 2005, the government came out and said in very emphatic terms that they were going to put a backstop behind the market and that if the price fell below a certain level, they would start buying. And that was considered a green light by investors to just jump into the market, and we had a bubble that persisted all the way through until 2007. Then we had the introduction of the Hong Kong-Shanghai Connect back in 2015, and that was at exactly the same time that the options market was launched. So you introduced leverage into a market that's dominated by retail investors, and you had another bubble that was much more shorter term in duration. Now we have a condition. If we look at the index over the course of the last few years, the price today is pretty similar to where it was right at the beginning of 2016. Over the last 2 years, there has been a very clear campaign to squeeze the shadow banking sector, to try and clamp down on speculative interest in order to prevent a bubble forming in the property markets. Well, property prices have continued to rise, but the pace of issuance and the speculative interest in the shadow banking sector has pretty much been eradicated. So there was a statement today which is about as clear as a statement as we can hope to expect, that this policy of clamping down on speculation is now over. Well, what they said was that they need the capital markets to start playing a bigger role in providing liquidity for the market. So there was the Party Congress was last week. Li Keqiang on Friday said that there is not going to be as the same kind of stimulus that was presented last time out. They are using fiscal stimulus on this occasion, but the other strut to that stimulus measure is going to be greater lending and more credit availability coming through from the capital markets, more debt issuance, then also more bank lending. And that is stimulative, and that's what we're starting to see in the stock market. So the A600 Banks Index has started to steady again. It pulled back sharply last week, but this is certainly some support coming through in the 14,500 level. Then if we look at the H-Shares Index in Hong Kong, then it is also steadying from its range, and this still is a consolidation above the region of the trend mean. All of that is also starting to filter through into the commodities complex and copper prices, where are certainly putting in what looks to be at least a first step above the base, but more importantly are stabilizing above the trend mean. So this is also looking reasonably positive. I've been rather hesitant over the last few years to paying particular attention to the Baltic Dry Index, because there were so many ships were released onto the market in the aftermath of the big building boom during the commodity bull market. But there is no denying that the price right now is really quite low, particularly relative to prices that we've seen over the course of the last few years, and there's at least some evidence that we're starting to see it steadying. Then when we look at the continuous commodity index, well, it has also been very range-bound over the course of the last 3 years, but it is steadying from the lower side of that range. It's being supported by some interest returning to the soft commodities markets. Then, most particularly, if we look at lean hogs, because that is essentially China's national dish, and African swine flu has decimated the national herd. This is a highly cyclical market, and we generally tend to get peaks in June, May, June of just about every year. So generally you start to see rallies starting to take hold in the couple of months ahead of those peaks, and I think that is ahead of this, the slaughter schedule beginning in the summer. Prices do tend to rally ahead of that contract change. So that does look like what we're getting right now. Then when we look at, for example, soybeans, well, soybeans hasn't been the worst performing of the agricultural commodities, and it is right in the region of its trend mean. Well, obviously China is a major consumer of soybeans, so if that can strengthen through the moving average and above this range, we'll have some confirmation that the trade war is in fact looking better. If China is doing better, then that is going to be one of the causal factors in people starting to support the emerging markets index. And the MSCI Emerging Markets ETF is at the upper side of its range. Tencent is one of the biggest constituents of that index, and it has also been exhibiting relative strength. So it has not only firmed to the moving average, it is breaking up and away from this most recent range in here. So that is quite positive. Then it's perhaps also worth looking at the performance of, for example, of an ASEAN ETF. So the Global X ETF, a Southeast Asia ETF, does not have China in it. It's primarily Singapore, Indonesia, Malaysia, and Thailand. And it has been ranging for the better part of 6 or 7 months, but there is a rounding characteristic to this range. The Aberdeen New Dawn ETF has also been firming here from the region of the trend mean, and it found support around the 200p level back at the end of last year, which is the upper side of the preceding underlying almost 7 year range. So this is looking like a more bullish environment. Then of course the other regional heavyweight is India, and the Indian market was in mildly positive territory in here today, but that has, I think, the very fact that it is holding the very impressive move that we had last week is really quite encouraging. And India is being led higher by its banks, and the Indian story is also very clearly tied to credit availability. So what we have now in China and also in India is a new credit cycle starting, and that is potentially quite bullish for their respective stock markets. If we start to then take a zoom out and look at the broader global economy, well, the bond markets are telling us that investors are positioned as if there aren't going to be more interest rate hikes. The Australian 10-year yield is right on the region of its lows from all the way back in 2016. The stock market there has been resurgent over the course of the last few months, and it is also right in the region of its peak. It's probably worth looking at that on a much longer term basis so that we can pull in the peak from back in 2007, and we're really not that far from approximating that level. But the chances are that if the Australian market is going to be able to push on from there, it is likely to be more driven by the resources sector than the banking sector. And that's, I think, an important characteristic. When we think about the fact that we are late in the cycle, that central banks around the world have had a bit of a growth scare, and now we are seeing an increasingly large number of economies adopting fiscal stimulus and credit, boosting credit availability. Well, that is certainly the case in Europe. And Europe is much more heavily influenced by what goes on in China than the USA is. So the fact that China is now engaged in stimulus is also positive for Europe. That also helps to stoke the interest in European assets, not least because they're considered to be better value than what is present in the US right now. But the clearest bullish argument for Europe would be if the euro does in fact break its sequence of lower rally highs. It is still above the 113 area, and that is a potential area of resistance. So it's a big question whether the dollar is going to be able to sustain a move up and out of its range. It has been coming back towards the region of the trend mean over the course of the last while. What I find particularly interesting is I spent an hour this morning looking, listening to Jeff Gundlach's markets talk from last week. He's very bearish of the dollar because he is alarmed by the size of the deficits in the USA and the potential for those deficits to climb even further and to get blown out even further in the event of a recession. And he is predicting a recession at some point in the next year and a half. So he's predicting a recession in 2020. I think that there's some weight to that argument because I think on the political front, there is a clear potential, and I think we have to, at this stage, it's probably the base case that we are going to get a progressive candidate that captures the Democratic Party nomination. That's going to represent an assault on the markets. Markets are probably going to take fright at the potential for much higher taxes, much more spending, and even bigger deficits. So that's a potential problem somewhere out there in the 2020 time frame. In the meantime, if the dollar fails in the region of the trend mean, well, that is likely to be positive for lots of markets outside of the US. One of the clearest bullish characteristics for foreign investors to be invested in the US stock market over the course of the last year has been the strength of the currency, so that you got both the currency and the capital market appreciation. The fact that we are getting more interest in gold does suggest that people are starting to take the other side of that argument and thinking that perhaps emerging markets are probably going to do better, that having some money outside of the dollar is probably not a bad idea. One of the things that I thought was particularly interesting about Gundlach's talk was he highlighting that there are now more $100 bills in circulation than $1 bills. Well, if that doesn't tell us that there's been inflation in terms of the devaluation of the currency and its purchasing power, I don't think anything else does. And that's the kind of thing that can get people interested in precious metals again, and this looks like a base formation. Then, when we look at oil prices, well, oil has been really rather range bound, but the size of the reactions so far has been in the order of about $7. Something that we see in terms of the oil price is that when we look at it over the long term, it can be quite inconsistent and very jerky, but that it is quite capable of putting in very consistent trends on time frames from anything from about 6 months to a year. That was certainly the case all the way back last year, where we had very rhythmic ranges. There was one bigger one, and then it went straight back to these rhythmic ranges. So that's almost exactly what we're getting right now. Each of these ranges has been approximately $7, and we would really need to see a reaction of more than that to question that this isn't still a reversionary rally, and it's right in the region of the trend mean, and I think there is the potential that it is going to get back up towards the upper side of this range, which is in the region of about $80. If central banks all over the world are not going to be raising interest rates and are encouraging banks to lend money and to send credit out into the system, well, then that is likely to be really quite positive for stocks and commodities generally. And there is the potential that if we don't see continued dropping yields on US treasuries, that investors are beginning to experience some indigestion at the thought of continuing to support US treasuries when deficits seem to be doing nothing but widening out. So there is the potential that the dollar could start to act as an underperformer, but it's perhaps a little early just yet to reach that conclusion. So then when we look at Wall Street, the S&P 500 has been able to push above the 2800 point level now for four consecutive days, and it is at a new recovery high. That's really quite positive. In fact, I've described it as the best of all possible worlds, that the index could consolidate in the region above the trend mean, and so far that's what it is doing. The further it goes on the upside, the more room it will have in which to consolidate. So that's quite positive. But I think more important than that is the fact that Amazon has been able to clear the $1,700 level, and that has now broken its sequence of lower rally highs. So that has also been a very tight consolidation. And there is now potential that we are going to see it push back up towards the peak. That doesn't mean it's going to rally continually and straight through 2000. I think there'll be ample scope for some consolidation around that level, but this is a big and impressive move above $1,700. And if it can be sustained, well, that is a really a vote of confidence in the US stock market. Then the semiconductors index is right in the region of this 1400 point level, where it has encountered resistance on numerous occasions in 2018. There is potential for a pause around here, but this is, I think, a good example of what we might anticipate from the S&P, where it has consolidated and now it is right in the region of its peaks. We might see some additional consolidation, but if it can sustain a move above 1400, then that is going to be a very clear vote in favor of continued outperformance. then the Russell 2000 has been lagging, but it is sustaining this move above the trend mean. And as long as it is doing that, well, then that's also reasonably positive. And the S&P 500 Banks Index was able to break upwards out of its most recent range in here today, and it is now back above the trend mean. So there is a short-term overbought condition, considering it has been up for 6 of the last 7 sessions. But as long as it is holding those lows above 300, then I think this is still a recovery scenario. When we look at Europe, then the banking sector has also been doing better here. And it was in positive territory today, not least because there is increasing speculation that Commerzbank and Deutsche Bank are going to merge. Well, Commerzbank is coming back up towards the trend mean. It is almost exactly approximating the Eurostoxx Banks Index. Deutsche Bank has also been steadying in here, and it is coming up towards the upper side of its range. The problem, of course, is that this merger between Germany's only two listed banks is not going to solve their debt problems, and it really is only a stopgap measure. That what European banks really need is recapitalization, and there's just very little prospect of that in the short term, so we're probably going to limp along further. But what it is going to do is take another member out of the Eurostoxx Banks Index. And one of the reasons why the index is not much lower than it is already is because the number of constituents in the index has been declining steadily. What is perhaps very much worth paying attention to is that there are a significant number of consumer-oriented companies with global franchises in Europe are leading on the upside and are at new all-time highs. So what this certainly suggests is that these types of companies both offer defensive characteristics, but they're also leveraged to global growth. And with an increasing number of central banks turning towards stimulus activity, well, what we now have further evidence of is that there is a global reflation trade going on, that we have moved almost seamlessly, perhaps not quite seamlessly, but very close to it, from monetary stimulus to fiscal stimulus. And that represents a clearly a bullish characteristic for global markets. The big question then is really what the Fed is going to do. We're going to get an answer for that on Wednesday. What that holds out the prospect of is that we're going to get an additional rally in markets. Well, the further the markets rally, the greater the likelihood is that central banks will then try to start raising interest rates again. But that's probably an issue for later this year rather than the immediate future, which remains quite bullish. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.